welcome in Wrong Side of the Pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Hey, how you doing?
Greetings.
What's up?
It's a relatively warm evening here in Ohio.
Yeah, it's weird this weekend. Like, all the snow's melting.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep going outside and going like, did it rain a bunch? Oh, no. It's just all the snow has just melted.
Yeah, it's like really humid.
Yeah.
It's like in the 50s today, which is kind of unusual considering.
It was in the 50s like tonight as I was driving over here. My car was reading like 53.
But it was like less than a week ago that we were talking about temperatures that were single digits.
Yep.
Walking to work, my face was hurting. It's always the worst.
Do you have a long walk to work?
It's only about two blocks, maybe three blocks total.
You have like a parking garage, I guess,
that
you guys
use? There's a garage down there, yeah. And in the 8451 building. If you ever want to try to find my car, it's one of the thousands of cars that's parked in there. So have fun with that.
It's a Ford, I think.
Damn it. Now you narrowed it down.
Narrowed it down.
But yeah, it was really, really cold not all that long ago. Now it's warmed up. It's made me feel like I should have been outside kicking a ball around. Then I remembered I'm retired and that it's February.
Yeah.
Nope, it's January.
Still January.
Yeah, still January. So.
Almost February.
Almost February.
Yeah. We have some good stuff on the show. Obviously, EPL doing its thing. No big matches, but everyone playing, everyone, I guess that fight between second and fourth, who's going to get those three spots? Not much movement there.
No.
You know, some teams, well, Liverpool hasn't even played yet, but
yeah.
As record on Sunday night. Also, a lot of domestic stuff just happening. We had the draft. Mm-hmm. We had a few you know, pretty big moves.
Yeah.
Within the league.
Yeah, there's been
within MLS.
A lot of movement. The draft always kind of triggers some of that stuff. So
right.
We'll get into a lot of that as we inch towards the domestic season beginning here in the United States. And then, of course, there's the transfer window to deal with. Maybe that's why I was thinking it was almost February or into February, because
it
is heating up and it kind of feels like it's come to a head over the last couple of days.
Right. I feel like most of the big moves are going to happen like this week.
Yeah. Which is a nice change of pace, but will ultimately make for a really boring deadline day. And a lot of reporters standing at training grounds.
Well, it already sucks because they stand indoors now because they don't want to be attacked by
dildos.
Sex toys. Yeah. You shove one in a guy's ear one time and they just
it's all downhill.
Shut it down.
It was fun that we got like a couple years of the wild, wild west when it came to transfer deadline day, and it was legit craziness. It was must-watch television. I miss it.
Yeah.
But it's also been neutralized entirely because it's no more threats of blow-up dolls and dildos being shoved about.
I saw a guy jump in front of a live shot of a reporter in Ireland and do a wanker sign today. It was like – apparently it was floating around on the internet. It was apparently somebody reporting from a Dolores O'Riordan's funeral.
Weird.
And this idiot jumped in front and just started – just doing just wanker and blowjob signs. It was pretty classy.
Classy, for sure.
Classy stuff.
People, when they have an opportunity to get on TV, do the damnedest things.
You wonder if he's sitting there like afterwards going like, boy, I hope that was like not a really serious story they were doing. Oh, what's that?
Oh, it was a funeral.
A funeral for like a famous singer?
Got it.
Cranberries? Okay.
Classic. Well, let's talk about things that are not reality like those people tend to live in, but in a very different alternate reality that is our fantasy week.
Mm-hmm. Did it go well?
It went okay. It wasn't necessarily a week that anyone would write home about.
I feel like none of these weeks have
they really aren't.
I had
like 2 weeks where it was like really exciting. I moved a lot, and then I've seemed to hit a little bit of stagnation point.
I'm pretty sure I've been consistently terrible.
Yeah.
This whole season.
No, you started out okay. You were well ahead of me for a long time.
It was a quick fall, though.
Yeah, well, it happened. You continue your fall a little bit this week.
Yay.
Beyond just one place, though, you fell two places to 124th. I improved four places to 60th. Of course, we're saying this on Sunday night. There's still the match yet to come. Everyone's got Mo Salah at this point in their team, so you'll be banking on those points, I'm sure.
And Captain Alexis Sanchez, is that a good move?
No, no, he sat out. He sat out this week, and fourth show in a row. Fantasy Stalwarts back in the big league. FC still sitting on top of the heap. That's the end of your fantasy update.
And there it was.
Yeah, it is over with. Let's get into the weekend that was. Start off with three teams at or near the top of the table doing fairly well. City, Arsenal, and Chelsea all getting fairly sizable victories.
Yeah, sizable, easy, comfortable victories. We'll start with Chelsea, who...
needed it.
Needed a W. They got one in the midweek that didn't feel like a win. When a win feels like a loss, we call that winning your FA Cup third-round replay and having two of your players get sent off. And, oh, it went to extras because you gave up a goal with the last breath of the 90.
Yeah, that was incredible. I loved watching I wasn't watching the match, but I was watching what you were tweeting, and it was highly enjoyable watching that go down, at least in word format, out of your mouth.
So I had to be at the start of our co-ed futsal that night. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to hang around. Like, I'm not going to drive all the way home. So I was just going to hang around all evening.
Yeah.
So I left work to go watch the match at Rheinhaus with me and zero other people.
Yeah.
Just me. Just me and Claire.
Just hanging out together.
Hanging out. Watching the match. When it went to extras, I was like, I gotta go feed the meter again. I'll just go back to the office and watch it there. So I'm back to the office, which my coworker Andrew was still there, and he was definitely enjoying watching me squirm for the entire bit of extras and then the pens. But yeah, because of that match, Chelsea had to go into this one without Morata. He got sent off on a red card. He did this sweet move of get the yellow for diving, which I would say that was a really bad call for diving.
Yeah.
He definitely got, like, I don't think there was enough contact to where he should have got a penalty, but he didn't dive. He definitely had his shoulder tugged pretty good there.
Tinted lenses there, yeah.
Obviously had words about that. With the ref almost out immediately and got himself sent off for that. So he was out. Pedro was out also for he got a yellow for diving and then another yellow later in the match.
And rare double yellow red cards doubled.
Yeah. So two guys go out on that. And then Thibaut Courtois had picked up a little niggle or whatever with an ankle. So he was out. Which Willie Caballero was in, which, man, that guy is frightening when he's your keeper and he's just running all over the joint, not staying in the box, just going on walks.
On the loose.
I mean, almost gave up a penalty in this game against Brighton Hove Albion.
He was like, look, Pep Guardiola told me that I should be out playing with my feet. I'm fine out here outside my box.
Yeah, and notice how Pep also didn't retain you.
Yeah. I mean,
notice that part.
That's just a small detail.
But yeah, it was Chelsea getting the victory despite not having all those players and despite having like Caballero in goal. They get the 4-0 victory at Brighton Hove Albion. Pretty easy win as they score two pretty quickly. Hazard scores a few minutes into the match. Shortly after that, you had Willian scoring off of, just a beautiful goal there where he gets back-to-back heel flicks sent to him. So it was Hazard heel flicks to Batshuayi who heel flicks.
It was a brilliant little build-up
to Willian who just slams it.
Yeah, I missed the goal in the run of play, and I saw someone describe it as a brilliant goal, and then, you know, you're expecting, like, an incredible individual display.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily – I mean, it was a cool finish, yeah. Well taken, but
– he hammered it well.
It was definitely more the build-up that made that goal what it was.
Yeah.
It, you know what it was very reminiscent of was the Jack Wilshere kind of flick-through back heel typey thing that happened a couple of years ago.
Wilshire's
was maybe a little more technical, but it was that kind of quick little interplay in a tight space. Really,
and it was hard because he was also smoking at the same time.
Yeah,
so that's
true.
Like, wow, that's hot. You were able to do both things at the same time.
I know, it's incredible.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's really cool that he's able to do both of those.
So that was like, I mean, that pretty much made it 2-0 and put this game pretty much out of reach.
Yes.
Thanks to Willie Caballero, Brighton Hove Albion did have some chances that mm-hmm. he's like the, Willie Caballero is the Jim Edmonds of keepers. If you don't know who Jim Edmonds is,
I'm glad you're giving this because I'm not really sure I know who
Jim Edmonds was a outfielder for the, mainly for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
He actually played for the Reds and the Cubs later in his career, but mainly the Cardinals. And he was always known like, oh, he's a spectacular fielder. Look how great of a fielder he is. Like he makes all these plays. But if you really like watched it, he made these crazy dives and all these crazy catches because he nearly misplayed a lot of easy fly balls that he then had to overcompensate for and dive out and lay out for to get. When the other one, like the average fielder, would literally just, you know, run in just make the catch, and it wouldn't look very spectacular, and it wouldn't create a highlight for SportsCenter. But Jim Edmonds would, because he had to overcompensate for maybe not reading the ball well initially, had to dive and make this big spectacular catch.
Got it.
So that's Willie Caballero. Willie Caballero, it wasn't that he was, they were just firing missiles at him or just put on a clinic as far as getting shots on goal. It was the ones that they were putting on goal. He had to work extra hard for to get them out. Chelsea went on to score two more, and Hazard had an amazing, brilliant solo effort where he caused not just Michy Batshuayi, but two defenders and the Brighton keeper to lay out in the wrong direction for a shot that just went in beautifully. And there's a great picture of Batshuayi literally just once he fell down and he knew Hazard was just going to score, he just basically just put his hands behind his head and was just laying there enjoying everything.
That's a classy way to go down.
Yeah, it's just, he was just there just checking out the view.
Big win for Chelsea.
Yeah,
ends needed. A 5-match scoreless run for them? 4?
In league, yeah.
Yeah, which is almost insane to think about. For the Blues, big win for them.
I mean, in all competition, they went, just over 7 halves of football without a goal until they scored early in the second half in the midweek against Norwich, which was actually Batshuayi scoring. I mean, yeah, they needed this one.
They've been bleak.
They needed they needed something, and the slump buster was Brighton Hove Albion.
That they were. Moving on to the other slightly less blue team, or maybe sky blue team, Manchester City getting the 3-1 win over Newcastle. Newcastle, the scoreline isn't very flattering to them, but I thought they did fairly well.
It was tight there for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they pulled away late. City pulled away late in this one.
Well, it wasn't until later into the first half that City finally opened the scoring through Sergio Aguero with an absolute glancing of all glancious headers. Yeah. Literally maybe just a couple hairs on his head.
He needed VAR to even see if it actually touched his body.
It was credited to him, so
we will
presume he got there. At least his hair follicles did. And then it was a little bit later on in the second half that I think it was 10 minutes after the break, that we saw City get on the scoreline again through, Sergio Aguero. This time a penalty earned by Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, again, Sergio Aguero capping off his hat trick. A magnificent dribbled effort and cross in
by from
Leroy Sané. Absolutely, worth going back and watching the match highlights just for that alone.
He was just weaving through cones.
And the cones were moving humans. And he really did pull off quite the feats. It is sometimes spectacular to think about that guy's only, 20 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an incredible future ahead of him. I think he's going to be one of those players that's going to be at the tip-top of the game probably here in a few years' time. But City Cruz here, it's worth noting, though, the goal through, I think it was I have it written down here, and of course my phone is now turned off.
But their one goal?
Newcastle's one goal was superbly taken. I thought it was a really nicely taken one from Jacob Murphy, kind of full sprint on at right at Eduardo, and then chipped it right over top of him. It pulled Newcastle within one, and obviously it wasn't quite enough. But a club like Newcastle continuing to be in the limbo, really just – like desperate for a buyer and for the club to actually get taken off of Mike Ashley's hands so that they can make some sort of splash.
That one lady's not buying now? What's going on there?
There's a whole
lot. I hear like she's in, she's out. They don't want her. They want her.
Supposedly she wasn't actually in. I don't know. It's a whole mess up there.
How old is that lady?
I don't think anyone cares as long as it's not Mike Ashley. At least that's how they're looking at it.
I mean, they'll flash up one picture of her and she looks like she's like 30.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll flash up another picture, and you're like, oh, no, okay, she is older.
I have no clue.
So, yeah, she's like that one, like that one girl that Seinfeld was dating where, like, the lighting made her look drastically different.
Mm-hmm. That's possible.
Back to Aguero real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So he scored a hat trick in this one. That gives him now, in 12 matches against Newcastle in his career, 14 goals.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, most of them came actually in one match. He scored 5 goals against them once.
Hmm. So that means he went a couple games without any goals.
Yeah. And then he had a hat trick in this one.
It sounds a lot less impressive when you think of it that way.
Right, when you break it down into the fact that there was 8 goals scored between 2 matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really takes a little of the luster off there. The last side rolling this weekend was Arsenal getting a 4-1 win over resurgent Crystal Palace. Not the best game for Palace, considering they gave up 3 goals in the opening 13 minutes of this match. A morale-boosting win for the Gunners, too, with potentially their talisman on his way out. More on that a little bit later. One of their other talismen also potentially on the way out, or at least making eyes towards the exit door.
Everyone's leaving.
Everyone is leaving.
It was the nacho show, though, in this one.
Yeah, it really was.
A goal and then assisting on the 2 right after that. A crazy game in the fact that they scored all 4 goals in the first 23 minutes of the match.
Yeah, I was going to say. I say 3 in 13 minutes, but yeah, it was 23 minutes for 4.
For 4.
Which, I mean, not too shabby either.
Pretty wild.
But it got boring after that.
Yeah, after that, it was terrible.
Well, Arsenal gonna Arsenal.
But hey, they win. They win big. Obviously, it was a big boost. It was funny. You see all the tweets of people like, oh, like, and obviously, I know some were fairly tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, there were several that felt this very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't even need Sanchez. And it's like, I am bookmarking all these tweets for when you guys just completely crap the bed. And are going, oh, well, we got rid of this guy.
It totally was like the tweet du jour from Arsenal people at that point. Like, oh, see, we're fine. And this is actually like the prototypical Arsenal response game, right? Like teetering on the edge of disaster, and they get a comfortable win that seems to just paper over all the cracks.
And I know I say this as a Chelsea fan who lavished in a 4-0 victory over Brighton Hove Albion, but... Mm. It's Crystal Palace, mate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's Palace. Good job. And you guys needed that win. And it helped you out. Obviously, we'll talk about it here in a minute. Spurs, you know, dropping points. So, as far as getting back into the top 4 race, this was a good weekend for you in that regard. But,
sure.
It was Palace.
A win's a win.
A win's a win.
A win is a win.
Again. Bookmarking all of the, we don't even need Sanchez.
We're
better without him. Like, guys.
I'll giggle when you retweet him. That'll
guys,
be enough for
guys.
Me.
Guys.
That will be enough for me.
You're going to regret those.
Let's talk about my Spurs here for a moment. You mentioned them dropping points. Frustrating one. Relegation zoned Southampton at home, getting a 1-1 draw with Spurs, getting the early lead thanks to a Davinson Sanchez own goal. Pretty unfortunate, although Spurs were getting absolutely shredded down the left. Both Sissoko and Aurier playing on that side, really not putting up much of a fight at all. Could have been a far worse scoreline for Spurs throughout most of the first half. Southampton really took it to them. Tottenham missing Christian Eriksen and Hugo Lloris through injury. You could tell both of them were in absence. You were talking about
missing Eriksen. Missing him.
Like, desperately missing him. Tottenham are a completely different side without him. Makes you wonder, are they going to be able to get someone in this window or potentially in the summer?
I mean, have you guys... Are you guys linked to anybody at the moment? Like, I just feel like I haven't been hearing much.
There's
that Malcolm guy that is
Malcolm.
He's apparently all about North London because he was first linked with Arsenal and now he's linked with you guys.
I'm going to presume he would probably lean towards us right now, just given the opinions of the squads. But
sure.
I'll be honest, I don't even know.
I haven't seen that mattered much in the past when it comes to Pigman.
No, it really doesn't. But to be perfectly honest, I don't even know what he plays. Like, I don't know. So, you think we would need someone in that space, and it's been a space that we've really missed having anyone that can kind of fill in for him or play a different role that's similar to his. And it was glaring today. But Spurs definitely sluggish at the start. Took him a long time to get going. Never really found a vibe until probably the last 15 minutes of the game. Tons of boos coming when Victor Wanyama slipped onto the pitch. Obviously a big star for Southampton. But he did make a big difference in the game. Harry Kane, of course, getting the equalizer in this one. Not long after Southampton got there.
Can we talk about that on goal?
I mean, it was a fabulous finish, right?
Oh, yeah.
A true striker's finish.
Sliding in.
Mm-hmm.
Clipping it off the post there.
Well, it was lovely. If you're a Southampton fan. But not the result that Spurs needed at all. Leaves them on the outside looking in on the top four at the moment. And Liverpool with a chance to extend that at least 2 points further this weekend. So, frustrating one.
Bummer, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least you can blame it on that midweek. Oh, wait, no, you didn't play in the midweek, so you don't have that.
No. Nope. Didn't have that as a problem.
No. Nope.
Well...
Bummer.
Here we are.
Let's whip around the rest of the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on.
Sorry. All right there?
Well, FOTMA just, like, switched their thing. I thought I was going to... There, this fixture. It sent me the wrong place. Other matches. United getting a win. 1-0 win over Burnley. Yeah, a little ho-hum, but hey... As you were saying a moment ago, win's a win.
A win is a win. It was a tricky match. Burnley, of course, putting up a good fight, as they have been expected to be, with worm eater Sean Dyche at the head. Did you see the stories about this?
Excuse me?
So Sean Dyche, he has a raspy voice. I don't know if you've ever heard him talk. He kind of has a raspy voice. And one of his former teammates was quoted as saying this week that he got that raspy voice from eating worms on the training ground pitch.
I'd like to hear the science behind worms causing your throat to be scratched.
One, I found that to be a really weird thing. Maybe it's because they're covered in dirt. I don't know. You hear the expression eating gravel potentially.
Yeah, I was going to say, did he eat rocks?
I don't know. but eating worms, he had to, of course, come out and deny that this ever happened. I heard a whole story about how that supposedly was true. It's ridiculous, but supposedly there were a lot of worms all over the training ground and all the players were kind of like, oh, all these worms. And he picked one up and ate one to show, like,
hey,
it's no big deal, which is a batshit crazy way of proving that. You could just pick them up and be like, guys, look, they're just worms, and then not eat one. And the point still would have been made, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
So he denied that. But Sean Dyche's team, not quite able to not eat the worm on this one.
Did he do that like in his Friday press conference, or did he have to hold like a special press conference? Was this like the time Mike Piazza held a press conference just to say he wasn't gay?
I don't know.
I'm not gay. I'm a heterosexual man.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike. Not really sure why we're doing this.
Yeah. Sounds like someone trying to really prove that they're not gay when they are.
One dot protests too much.
Yeah, exactly. There is no collusion. All that said, Dyche's men fall. They did eat the worm. United finally cracking a rather stout Burnley defense once again.
Everton won. West Brom won. A disappointing match. Really for everyone, but mainly for people that that wanted to see Theo Walcott.
Yeah.
Didn't even make it in the lineup for this one, Theo Walcott. We'll talk about it in a minute when we go to the transfers. But one of the few actual done deals so far in the window.
Haven't had many of them.
Theo Walcott, now a Toffee.
Yeah.
This seems like a movie. So we have their current striker is a guy that Sam Allardyce has basically been on record. He wasn't for this move. Bringing in, what's his name? Senek?
Tosin?
Tosin. Senk Tosin, that Senk. Was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Allardyce kind of gone outside like, yeah, maybe he'll work out. Like, making it sound like, yeah, this was already put in place.
Let's be honest.
Before I was coming here, I don't know this guy.
He already knows that, like, he's going to be gone because that's what Allardyce does. He's not there for any extended period of time for anyone he works for. So, I would presume he'll follow that same pathway. But
Theo sounds like a guy he wanted to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this sounds like a move that he's pretty juiced about.
Finally getting to coach.
I mean, did you not see the picture of the two of them when they signed? And he's putting all of his weight on Theo's shoulder, so look for that injury to pop up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Theo Walcott is out. He has a dislocated shoulder because Sam Allardyce was leaning on him.
Had a fresh bowl of gravy before he did that.
Like the brown gravy?
All gravy.
What's that sauce that they like? I guess it's just called like brown sauce that they like put on
food.
Most things
over there. It's just...
I'm going to say Sam puts it on literally everything.
Yeah, probably.
Probably just drinks it straight.
Right on top of his gravy, I'm sure.
Yeah. Gravy on his gravy?
I can't imagine not. But yeah, it definitely does. It's just Sam recreating the England squad he didn't get to have for very long, I would presume.
That he might be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he can get that loan move for Jack Wilshere, too.
Perhaps.
And then he's just really in business.
Go get it.
They can... share a cig.
Another important point for Alan Pardew's men.
Yeah, they need those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, desperately.
Yeah.
So
still in the drop zone.
Any points they can take, they're going to want those. Leicester City 2, Watford 0. Leicester looking Leicester-y. I mean, it was Vardy and Mahrez scoring goals. That's vintage. Would you say vintage Leicester
vintage
City?
Vintage is vintage Leicester City. The more probably pertinent highlight to this particular match was the loss did cost Watford manager Marco Silva his job.
Yeah.
Really odd statement posted by Watford in the aftermath of this as well. Like, uncomfortable even.
Claiming that it was Everton's fault?
Yeah. Multiple unwarranted approaches is the wording that they used in the release itself. Back in November, unsettling Marco Silva when Everton were initially pursuing a replacement for their departed man. Why let it linger on? Like, if it were this bad. And things have...
As someone we've already mentioned on this podcast would have said... Did you have to let it linger?
Did you have to? But it certainly lingered on. Watford did see a downturn in form over the last month or so. So this isn't potentially all that surprising. But now Watford, the latest to join the ranks of clubs looking for a new manager, I'm sure the next one will work out just as well.
Oh, by the way, we have to go back to Everton real quick.
Mm.
James McCarthy's leg fell off in this match.
Oh, yeah. It was disgusting.
Horrible, horrific injury.
He was standing on it at the end as well.
I think we're done seeing him for this season.
Yes.
That's a bad injury
that wasn't a compound fracture.
Yeah.
It's not fun in any capacity on that front. Let's move beyond the Leicester and Watford match and even this Everton one again. Let's move into Stoke.
Sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was...
Momentarily, at least.
Yeah.
And
who can do sexy better than Paul Lambert?
I mean, he is a sexy beast. Now in charge of the Potters, his first game after Mark Hughes was given the axe after last week's loss. Paul Lambert last seen by our one friend, Charlie Hatch's Norwich City. I think it was the last time we saw...
I don't know. Is that where he was? Helm? I thought he was at. Wait, he was at. He got crap canned from Villa after Villa won.
That's right. I forgot about that. So he got the Villa job after Norwich.
He's been Paul Lambert. He's been everywhere. a lot of places. I know that this was a move that was not seen in a favorable light by the Stoke supporters.
It's like everyone else is naming, like, has-been English managers. We should get in on this game as well. Who is available? Paul Lambert.
Would you like to go down the Paul Lambert managerial career list?
Please,
here?
Please do.
Livingston was his first managerial job. I cannot tell you where that is, what that is.
Sounds like an English name.
Or why that is.
It is somewhere in England.
I can tell you about the second place he managed.
Okay.
Wycombe Wanderers.
All right.
Two seasons. Then going to Colchester United, Norwich City after that. So Chuck did see him at one point. That was, but 6 years ago.
Okay.
Aston Villa. He was there for a while. 2012 to 2015.
He went down with them, didn't he?
No, because they just went down, right?
That's right. Okay.
So he got canned before that happened. Blackburn. Talk about a team that's been down lately.
Chickens.
And then also a team that we have not seen in the Premier League in quite some time, Wolverhampton.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Well, he is now back at the helm, gets a victory over Huddersfield in that first win back. I still feel sad for Mark Hughes. He built that the sexiness into Stoke, and really I don't feel will be appreciated in the way that he should be, considering he not only made them shed the shackles of their big thuggish football realm, but also improved the side and got them to a certain point that no one had taken them previous to that. So,
By the way, I got some really good Paul Lambert news for you. That Livingston gig?
Yeah.
That was his first gig?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what it also was?
What's that?
It was player manager.
Oh, I did not know that.
Player manager, your favorite.
Now, Paul Lambert, now my second favorite manager in the Premier League. Some other matches that happened this weekend. West Ham won, Bournemouth won. Hooray.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah. That was it. The only match that we're still waiting to see transpire, at the least the point that we are, you probably already heard what's gone down, but Swansea and Liverpool will be tangling up.
I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up as I'm going to go 3-1 victory for Liverpool.
Two goals from Salah, and let's just go ahead and say one for
Firmino.
Not Coutinho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to hope Tammy Abrams, the Chelsea loanee, is the one goal. Or Alfie Monson, the former Wycombe Wanderer player, gets the lone goal for Swansea.
I'm hoping for a silly Jurgen Klopp quote.
Mm.
That's all I really want. Well, let's get into, we mentioned
more swearing on TV.
Well, absolutely. I'm always for that. It's legal here in the United States. Let's get into another whip around, no longer just the league, but let's get into the transfer whip around. It has been a busier transfer window than I actually thought it was been. I felt like it had been quiet.
We've had a lot of crappy ones. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of lame-o January windows lately. So yeah. I think we've been conditioned over the past couple of years to go like,
it's January. Nothing's going to really happen.
We're going to hear some stuff and nothing will actually happen.
Yeah. Well, stuff did happen. But here's the thing. A lot of the big stuff happened a while ago, like near the beginning of the window. Yeah. And it seems like it was just stuff that had dragged on from the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Van Dijk.
Mm-hmm.
That was, didn't fix it, didn't make it happen in the summer.
Nope.
Finally, now we got it done.
Finally got it done. £70 million that he made for the Southampton move. Here's one that I literally didn't even think about. Diego Costa to Atletico Madrid for £58 million.
Technically went officially, January 1st.
That fee was way bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I don't know how we managed to make them pay that.
£58 million for a player who was legit, just not even playing with them. He was
and who basically would only go to one club.
Yeah.
It was not like we were getting rid of him, and we could have just sent him anywhere.
Sold him where you wanted.
Yeah.
Should have gone to China.
You're going to China. You're going to go to – we'll send you to Stoke. No. He pretty much made it I will go one place and one place only.
And that he did. He got his dream move back to the club that he calls his second home. Ross Barkley also a move that happened a while ago that you just don't even think about, was on the bench today, this weekend.
Almost made it on the pitch. He was warming up, and then for some reason we brought on Zappacosta at the end.
Not going to happen. 15-million-pound move. But those are just a few of the ones that like I'd forgotten had even happened. If you're looking for the highest transaction of this particular window, it was $105 million for Coutinho heading to Barcelona. Technically the third highest or third most expensive transfer in history, behind Gareth Bale and Cristiano Ronaldo. No, I'm sorry. It's actually Neymar and,
Coutinho.
No. Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah, they spend a little bit of money on those guys.
Just a few of the big ones that we've already seen gone down. A few that we've already talked about as well. Theo Walcott to Everton for £20 million. What is kind of funny about that is both he and Aaron Lennon are both now playing for the same team.
Although I hear Lennon's going to Burnley, right?
I've heard that as well. But that could we see happen. But it would be funny just having, you know, two players that everyone always said was the same type of player now fighting for similar spots. The other one from Everton. Sanctusen for $20 million as well from Besiktas. Just for comparison's sake, that's 157 million euros that Everton have, or excuse me, pounds, that Everton have spent for this season.
Yeah, they're just spending like drunken sailors.
Sigurdsson, Keane, Pickford, Klaassen, and Walcott, all players they brought in alongside Tosin. Just a ridiculous
amount. They got the big boy TV money and they're just
spending it.
And it's how's that going for them so far?
Making it rain.
We spent most of the season in the drop zone.
The other big move that everyone's been talking about that we all kind of anticipated being the kind of blockbuster of the window. If Coutinho wasn't already that one. Steven
Naismith's loan to Hearts.
That's definitely
because that also happened.
That was definitely the one I was going to pick. No, it's Alexis Sanchez and Endrick Mkhitaryan swapping places between Manchester United and Arsenal. Straight swap. No fees being exchanged between the clubs, mostly because a crapload of money is being paid directly into the pocket of Alexis Sanchez and his agent.
And his dogs.
And his dogs. Reportedly, the sign-on fee for Alexis was £30 million.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Is that all we're having? That's all
not we're too shabby. And then the agent's fee was something in the neighborhood of like $10 to $15 million, which is just absurd.
I'm absurd. Still back on the fact that Stephen A. Smith is leaving Norwich, going to be loaned to Hearts. And I think that's actually to fill in the gap that Perry Kitchen is leaving because he's going to the Galaxy.
Yeah, weird tying the worlds together there. Let's now jump across the pond into domestic matters.
Yeah.
And talk about the craziness that's been MLS over the last couple weeks. Tons of player movement that we've seen unfold. One of those players you just mentioned making the hop over to LA Galaxy, DC United, former standout Perry Kitchen, leaving the role at Hearts. He'd been club captain there, hadn't he?
Yeah. Captain of the club.
Heading to LA.
But so like LA Galaxy bought goofy MLS rules, have basically traded for his rights.
Yes.
Which you don't trade for someone's rights unless you plan on signing them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just do that.
No.
But you have to do that with U.S. national team players.
Yeah. Anyone who's returned, any player who has returned or a U.S. men's national team player who is coming to MLS for the first time can be marked as discovery.
Right.
With national team players in particular, it's also the allocation order that comes into play.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why LA were able to make this deal and actually pay DC United for this is DC tried to re-sign Kitchen before he made the jump and hop across the pond. And because of that, DCU still owned his rights.
Mm-hmm.
Similar situation when Chris Rolfe made his return from Denmark. He was able to go back to the Fire. But DC United actually, ironically, was trying to buy him from Chicago, which was weird because they didn't actually have him at that point.
Right.
But it is
But then weird. It did happen. Then he did go there.
Then he did go there, just a year delayed. Let's talk about some of the other moves that we've seen come to fruition over the last couple days. One that probably strikes us closest to home. Ola Kamara making the move from Columbus in exchange for Jozy Zardes.
And about $500,000.
Yeah, definitely Kamarad getting a little bit more value for the crew, at least on the monetary front.
Yeah, it's $4,000 plus an extra $1,000 or $100,000 if he scores 12 goals. We scored like 20-something last year, so yeah, I'm going to say 12 is going to be easily obtainable.
Yeah, that it definitely will. Jazzy Zardes bring his skunk hair to the Midwest, at least for this season in Columbus.
You know, he did that so his grandma could know where he was on the pitch. I'm going to say she's not coming out to Columbus to watch any of these matches. No, so he can just go ahead and
for television. Like, that's the reason why he wears it, because it's really easy for her to see on television.
I got even worse news for her. The TV deal for the crew is one of the worst in the history of mankind.
Well,
she's probably not going to be able to watch any of these matches.
No, probably not. Another crew player being linked in all of this, reportedly wanting out, is Justin Miram, the Irec.
Apparently, he straight up said, went to the front office and was like, yeah, I got to go.
Yeah. Something Kamara reportedly did as well.
Yeah, both of them did that. One of them is already gone now.
Yeah.
Portland is the name that's... team that's floated out there that I heard that actually I heard a lot of teams are in on Miram.
Yeah.
Portland, Orlando.
Problem is the crew are going to want a lot for him, and rightfully so.
He's one of the best attacking players
in the league.
Yeah. That's not a designated player.
Yeah. He's in Iraq International routinely performing at the top level there as well. So the crew trying to eke out whatever they can out of Miram in this situation. A couple weeks old at this point, but we're pointing out
that will hurt me severely when that happens.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to whimper a little bit on that one. The other one that's going to sting a little bit that I didn't even really know it happened, but Waylon Francis has already left too. He went to Seattle. Yeah, that's just something you're keeping an eye on a little bit. But the crew team that we've kind of come to know over the last few years is definitely being picked apart a little bit at this point. A couple other moves. David Akam leaving Chicago, heading to Philadelphia in exchange for
$1 million.
Pretty much $1.2 million worth of both TAM and GAM combined. The other like big move of the offseason, also a couple weeks old at this point, is Sasha Kljestan heading to Orlando in exchange for Carlos Rivas and Tommy Redding.
Totally forgot that happened.
But again, like, this is that transfer window where everything got like done early on in a lot of respects.
Things that did happen though this week, other ones. The official backup keeper of Midwestern soccer, Matt Lampson, is also staying in the Midwest still.
Yeah.
If you count Minnesota to the Midwest.
Sure, why not?
So he's going there now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's keeping that region going.
Yeah.
Just backing up just everybody.
Moving around.
Who needs a backup keeper?
He's just moving north. Yeah. I would presume that if Edmonton make a rise again in this new Canadian Premier League, Lampson will end up there next. It's the upward trajectory he's taking at the moment. So,
Atlanta United signed their big 19-year-old DP.
Whiz kid.
Barco?
Barco.
Did you hear about what this kid did, though?
No. What's that?
He, I don't know, whatever portion of the like transfer fee that somehow goes to him or whatever, he gave back to the club.
To Atlanta?
No. Back to the club he came from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Independiente? I think that's where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But highly touted back to them reserve so could... or Argentinian prospect coming in. Literally, they announced it in the middle of the draft. Totally kind of a weird way that unfolded there. But that is something else that transpired over the last week. We had the MLS Combine and draft.
You guys sent your coaching staff down to the combine, right?
We did send our coaching staff down to the combine.
I mean, I guess most USL
clubs. A lot of USL teams send their coaches down for that.
Because a lot of, I guess, you know, obviously all these kids go to the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, you know, X number of players are going to get drafted. Yep. Out of that, a lot of them are going to find themselves to the USL via being drafted and then getting loaned out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys that don't get drafted
often end up signing.
Yeah, a lot of good talent there that need to go somewhere.
Yeah, so that did take place, and it was, of course, sponsored by Adidas and given you Team X, Team Predator, Team Ace, Team whatever. I just saw lots of tweets about it. Didn't really watch a ton of it, but if you're looking for the team who made the first overall pick, it was LAFC, the new expansion side, Bob Bradley's side, picking up Akron center back João Moutinho. No, not that João Moutinho.
I was going to say, like, when I first saw that, I was like,
wait, why is he getting drafted? Isn't he Monaco?
He's at Akron?
No, it is not him.
He's a Zip?
He is a Portuguese Sporting Lisbon product, if you're looking for his background. So not that surprising that he carries a name of a very famous footballer who's probably double his age. He is also a center back. Really technical. I watched some video on him. Like, hell, he was the first draft pick. You should watch him. Looks to be a good player, but it's going to be a tough jump for him. He's a little guy. But if you're going to look for someone who's been good at that size in this league, look at someone like Michael Parkhurst.
Yeah.
So it can be done. Outside of that.
A lot of dudes. I heard of, like, as far as, because I'm, yeah. Obviously, we've done some, a lot of Division IV work in the past. I've called a fair bit of college soccer here in the past year or so.
Yeah, that's right.
Only one guy was I like, oh yeah, I definitely saw that guy play like in person a ton. Brandon Bye from Western Michigan, I believe won 8th overall to New England Revolution. Saw him play for Kalamazoo FC when they came to play the Dynamo. And then saw him against Western Michigan, came and played UD Flyers.
Okay.
He had a freaking, I mean, just hit like a frozen rope from like 30 yards out. Just a worm burner.
Yeah.
Just straight in the match I called. Kid's a talent. It'll be interesting to see what he does. But that was like the one guy I was like, oh, I've actually heard of this guy. I've actually called games if he was
in. That's the thing. We heard increasing calls this year for
burning the draft,
has the draft like outlived its purpose? And I think you can make some strong arguments that it has. It's also an opportunity for a league to like get its name out there in a time of the year when they're not actually kicking balls around.
Yeah, true.
And you see what the NFL does with their draft and the spectacle that that's become, and you can understand why Major League Soccer wants that.
Probably help to get it back on TV first would be my
that would I think would be a big
step. You were on TV. And then now you haven't been for like the past three seasons.
Yeah. And not only that, but another problem with the draft, at least in soccer, is there's just no common knowledge of that are coming through. It's not like where you're like, oh, that guy played, you know, for the national championship team. Like you often
do. Those kids did get drafted.
And they do, but there's
kids from both players on that team.
There's just not an interest in American college soccer that really drives that type of, that type of name recognition. So definitely something to watch here in the future to see if it's something that sticks around or if it ends up being a bigger deal than it currently is. But it has taken place. And now preseason is the next thing up for MLS. Starts literally tomorrow.
One note I do want to throw out there that I saw this morning that encompasses both the draft, as we talk about a former, I believe, number two draft pick. And transfers. Rumors that Jack Harrison
going to
Stoke.
Yeah. Of course, he's English, so that move will be
easy. Right, that makes a little more sense. Of course, he grew up in the United system, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So he's a known quantity over there. Look, he was a lot of talk of him actually going back to England instead of leaving the college ranks and entering MLS. So will be super interesting to see if he comes in. He would definitely be someone on the peripheral of that team. Stoke have also had like a passing interest in quite a few players based in MLS.
Yeah.
I think Diego Fagundes.
Juan Agudelo.
Juan Agudelo.
Freshay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a handful of guys who made the jump directly from them.
I feel like when you hear about guys like, oh, he's out training with X, team. Half the time it's Stoke.
Yeah, Jeff Cameron. Jeff Cameron. Think of another one,
Currently plays for them and starts a lot.
Yeah, and made the jump directly from MLS as well. So they've definitely mined in here as well.
He was at Houston, right?
It was either Houston or Dallas.
Okay.
And it was one of the Texas teams. Not Austin.
Right. Even though he's from Boston.
Yeah. That gets us into, I believe, winners and wankers.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Would you like to give me your winner?
This one I felt like was a no-brainer. I had to give it to Ronaldinho, who finally retired this
hold
week.
Hold on, though. Finally retired. Like, when you heard the news, weren't you like, Wasn't he already retired?
Well, kind of a little bit. There was a his agent put something out not long ago that said like he'd be willing to go to any team. Literally, he'd consider any offer as long as he didn't have to train, which is usually the sign you're on the verge of the end of your career.
But that's a lie, though. Like, how many? I mean, if that was really true, there's like 90 NPSL teams.
He played for one.
Well, they literally invented one just so he could play for one out in Vegas.
Yeah, for like literally, I think it was
like I don't think that team actually existed outside of that one little time frame.
But Ronaldinho did retire this week at the age of 37. He does turn 38 next month. A glittering career, make no doubt about that. Spanning clubs such as Gremio, PSG, Barcelona. He was only at Barcelona for 5 years. I thought he was there longer than that. AC Milan lifted a Champions League trophy at Barcelona and a World Cup trophy with Brazil. Two World Player of the Year titles as well. The thing I'm going to say about Ronaldinho, you look at players like Messi and Ronaldo and their stats far eclipses, you know, goals, goals per game, even some of their like, you know, just mind-boggling achievements in the club level, like the number of Champions League trophies they've won are eclipses as well. But neither of them played with the same incredible improvisation, such expression, and such joy. Like, Ronaldinho changed the way that I think a lot of people thought about the game being played at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude was out there legit having fun.
Smiling.
And just crapping all over everyone.
Yeah.
With a huge smile on his face. And I had to pull up this video whenever I think of Ronaldinho. I always do this, and I found this old Nike advert. Remember the Joga Bonito,
like
line of ads they did, and they had this Joga TV. And I have to play it because I just think it's worth watching just to hear like your reaction to it. In addition to
you do it just because you like it.
Things he does with his feet.
Yeah, he's doing some futsal right now.
And what we're looking at is him playing as an adult and him playing as a child and still playing with that same zeal. Like, zeal and verb and vibe that he never lost. A lot of players lose that. You watch a guy like Messi or Ronaldo, and they just.
I mean, Messi looks like a guy who's been just kind of beaten down.
And you just
I finally got to.
You don't really see that out of players anymore. Despite their dominance, Messi and Ronaldo are some of the best players
that
ever.
That was the narrator they picked, huh?
Yeah. Eric Cantona. Him and Nike did all sorts of stuff there together for a while. But seriously, Ronaldinho played in a way that no one really has, and I don't know that anyone ever really will. And if we're ever treated to that kind of thing again, appreciate it because it's short-lived and it turns into a fat guy that likes to sleep with a bunch of whores. So,
like, you mean like the guy on the screen right now?
Well, both. Yeah, it's all the above. But that is my winner. Congrats to Ronaldinho.
My winner goes to the we're going to split this one between Oldham Athletic AFC player Ryan McLaughlin and the Oldham Athletic Twitter account. Oldham Athletic was tweeting whatever, something out. And just like fans do for every team, what do they always like to tweet at during transfer window times?
Announce.
Yeah. So Ryan McLaughlin, one of their players, tweeted at them, announce Alexis Sanchez. And the account quote tweeted and said, "The club can confirm that no offer has been made for Alexis Sanchez. Grow up, Ryan."
That's incredible. It was an incredible like series of tweets that were transpired between or that took place between a player on a team and the actual team account.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. Your wanker?
My wanker. I had a really hard time. I think I have to give a co-wanker award.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I've ever done this before.
Okay.
But an equal split. One is going to be someone that we don't even know them, but it's a nameless person.
We don't know a lot of them.
Whoever paid to put the mobile sign outside of the United Soccer Coaches Convention this week.
Probably wasn't
the MLS
Ted.
Draft. I'm going to guess
money.
Ben. Ben's the one who tends to...
Ben Fass.
I would imagine he would have done it. It didn't have his picture on the side at all, at least from the movies that I saw and videos that people had recorded and posted on social.
But it didn't have a quote. It didn't have him quoting himself.
No, with a picture of himself over top of official U.S. soccer marks.
With that face that says, "It's been a while since I've blinked."
Or it's... Yeah, I'm not going to go there. There are a lot of things. But someone paid legit money to rent one of those like trailers that you can put an advertisement,
right.
You know, like video advertisements on. And someone spent a lot of time making a really fancy PowerPoint presentation that would scroll across it, talking about how corrupt U.S. soccer is.
Garber and Sunil and their puppets.
And basically just... one of the crazies who doesn't quite understand the definition to a lot of different words that they use.
Right, yeah.
The other one that I had to give it to, League One referee Tony Chaperone, who not only wrongly sent off Nantes Brazilian defender Roberto Carlos, not that Roberto Carlos, with a second yellow for accidentally running into the referee in the run of play. This after Chaperone like literally just veered off to the left. And cut off the player himself. But as they were tumbling, Chaperone kicked Roberto Carlos, like legitimately kicked him, then stood up and gave him his second yellow and sent him off. Don't worry, Roberto Carlos had his red card overturned, and Chaperone is facing some sort of disciplinary action. But a referee kicking a player.
That's pretty great.
Both awesome. I've almost felt compelled to give him my winner as well.
My wanker goes to Major League Soccer's production team for having to cut the mic to the supporter section during the draft because they just didn't want the continuous Save the Crew chants going out over their broadcast.
It was a rough one for them.
Yeah, listen, I get it. You don't want that, but as a league, like... If you're not willing to talk, you know, be transparent in how this whole thing is happening and be willing to talk about it in transparent ways, like, you're going to face backlash anytime you crack a mic anywhere.
I think, you know, the MLS has a history of opening up the draft to fan interactions, much in the way that it has in the NFL as well, and it's an enjoyable part of the experience.
Right.
We have a team in Philadelphia now because legitimately the Sons of Ben showed up at the draft and chanted before there was even a team awarded in support of Philadelphia. So there's some tradition in this. And
to be fair, people in Philly... Not too difficult for them to get some wind in their jaws.
Yeah, that's very true.
They'll talk.
Yes, they will. So it was certainly an egg on face moment for MLS. As it turns out, Don Garber actually sent the team back over and said, hey, like, let them speak as long as they're not using any cuss words.
Yeah.
I'm sure he also said something to the effect of, cut the mics over there.
Yeah. I want to pop that down. Pop that down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when he went to go announce the first pick... The Save the Crew chant was so loud he got flustered and called up the first pick in the 2008 draft.
Yeah, 2008, and wasn't it like the LAFF Los Angeles Football Charter? Or there was some other mess up that was in there as well.
Yeah, he got a little knocked off his game there.
Yeah,
happen.
Happens to the best of us. That gets us to the end of this week's show. As always, if you have comments, concerns, questions, things you want us to chat about, only bother Jeremy with them. You can find...
Especially if you have a concern.
Yeah. I'm not going to follow through on that. Too many other fish to fry. But get a hold of Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. You can also reach him through me at Wrong Side of Pond. I'm far less likely to pass on that message, though. You can also get us on the emails. Contact at wrongsideofthepond.com. We very rarely get any emails sent to that. So, but yeah. That's this week's show. I'm sure it'll be freezing by the time we talk to you again.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Take care.
Bye. If you're traveling in the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the board.